Don Levitard.
You know nothing. You're a dum-dum.
Stugatz.
305 till I die.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Dick Vitale going to join us in just a minute here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. A very happy Dick Vitale, I imagine, after the Rays get a win last night. It's champion versus champion at UFC 254 when Khabib takes on Gaethje. Coming this Saturday, October 24th, special start time of 2 p.m. Eastern, only on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. UFC 254 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. It's a good deal. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details for a chance to win $10,000 plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Levitard Show gang. Simple. Text Levitard to 77333. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See AdvanceAutoParts.com for all the details.
We will get to Dick Vitale in a moment, but before we do that, here is Christine Lisi.
And finally, space smells like a combination of diesel fuel and barbecue, according to astronauts. The smell is caused by dying stars. Speaking of gassy dying stars, Dan, back to you.
Okay. Dying.
Yeah, I mean, that seems harsh, it seems unbelievable. Dark. His new book, The Lost Season, A Look at What the 2020 National Championship Could Have Been, is available now. All the proceeds are going to the V Foundation. If you do not know what Dickie V does for the V Foundation, it is pretty extraordinary. It is ESPN's only charity, and he has raised a great deal of money under the name of his friend Jim Valvano. He joins us now because he is an enormous Rays fan. He is the most famous of the Rays fans. No one is rooting for you, Dickie V. They're rooting for you, but no one is rooting for your baseball team. You understand that, right? You're the only one out here rooting nationally for the Tampa Bay Rays. You know this, yes?
I know that, but hey, Dan, let me just simply say this. And Stu Gatz, thank you so much for mentioning the V Foundation. It means so much to me. So far in my gala, we raised $37 million for kids battling cancer. And it's not enough. It's not enough. Watching kids, their families, I've gotten to know them. I speak and do a lot of motivational speaking around the country. And the toughest speeches I ever had to give in my life, I was asked to speak at several funerals for kids. And I'm telling you guys, it just tears your heart out. And it's left an impression on me. And every dollar from the sale of my new book, as you said, is going to go to the V Foundation. But that only happens if they buy the book at DickVitale.com. If you buy it at DickVitale.com, you get an autographed copy, and all the dollars that I would make is going into my pot. This year we raised $7.4 million at my virtual gala, and I'm hoping and praying we can do something like that in the future. But let's talk Rays, baby, because the Rays.
Hold on a second. Hold on, Dickie V. I want to just marvel at what you did there as a professional broadcaster. You got your plug on the front end. You did not wait for me to get to Tampa Bay Rays. You got in there and you plugged your stuff, and I salute you as a veteran of this craft for getting in there and saying what you wanted to say before we wanted you to say what you wanted to say.
I guess 42 years in the business, you learned something. Man, one of my biggest mistakes ever made was the day that we had that situation where I hung up on you guys. I felt so bad, to tell you the truth, because that's not me. But the bottom line is you guys do a great, great job. There's no question about it. To be able to, you know, in this business, if you could survive year after year after year, you're doing something right, because it is so difficult, so subjective, changing of personnel up on top and administration. So you guys have done a great, great job. I just want some of the cash you're making.
Dickie V, I got to tell you, I am so glad you said that. There's a big weight off my back now, because ever since that day, I haven't been right. And so I apologize, and I love you. We got mad at each other. You blamed it on Dan. It was perfect, okay? But I love you, and I respect the hell out of you. Not only what you do for Jimmy V, but just what you are and what you do in general.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks a lot, guys. But, you know, hey, speaking about the Rays, I got a buddy here who lives near me. Played for the Dodgers. He pitched for them. Maybe you know the name, Tom Niedepure. And he's been busting my chops before this started about the fact, you know, you look at the Dodger lineup, you look at their pitches. But yesterday was a must win. Let me tell you why it was a must win. I mean, if any chance at all to win this World Series, they had to win game two, because in game three we're facing, I think, you know, as good as Kershaw is, and he certainly was great the other night, even though he struggled with the playoffs prior to that, this guy Buehler really scares the hell out of me. But we got Morton going as well, and Morton is a money guy. He's a guy that's done it before. He won game seven for Houston when they beat the Yankees. He won game seven for the Rays and beating his former team, the Astros. So he's going. That's a pivotal game. If they could get that game number three, because, you know, we're going to face Kershaw again, and I don't know. I got a feeling he looks like he's in cruise control.
Dickie, one thing we've been talking about a lot this week is whose career would you rather have, Charlie Morton or Clayton Kershaw? Because we've been arguing that Morton has a better career right now.
Yeah. Come on,
it's
man.
A good question.
Come on,
Dickie, it's not a good question.
It's not a good.
Not even close. Come on, I love Charlie Morton, man. He'll love him. Come on, but look at Kershaw's career. It's unreal. But unfortunately, the only way you know people remember you is basically what you do playoff time, and that's what you're basing it on, obviously. But you know what? He's not as bad in playoffs. They always single out certain situations in game here and there. Even a game against Atlanta when they lost, you put him in position to win. He gave up three runs. I mean, bottom line is, your club's got to hit. That's the one thing that's a big concern for me with the Rays. They put such pressure on their pitchers. Like, you take Snell. I thought Snow was nasty yesterday. I mean, he was nasty. But the bottom line is, every pitch you throw, you've got such pressure on you because you're wondering, man, you know, are we going to be able to score runs to get in that position? But the problem with Snell and Glasnow, they've both got electric stuff, man, electric stuff. They throw so many pitches. By the fifth inning, they're done. Every count is 3-2, 3-2, 3-1. And it's tough when you walk guys. Like last time I walked six in that first game. You walk six guys, you're in major trouble, especially against a lineup like they have.
Dick Vitale with us here on ESPN Radio. His new book, The Lost Season, A Look at What the 2020 National Championship Could Have Been, is available now, with all proceeds going to the V Foundation. Dick, let me try it this way. One game, okay, for the World Series, and you could choose either Charlie Morton or Clayton Kershaw. Who is Dick Vitale putting on the mound for his team?
Are you trying to get him to hang up on us again?
No. I think it's a fair question. Morton, forget about careers, just for a game.
But I mean, come on now. Kershaw's a multi-multi-million-dollar superstar. Yeah. I mean, people that look at it, you got to look at his overall record, his ERA for his career. Okay. Look at his wins for his career. He's Hall of Fame bound. The strikeout, they're singling out a few bad performances. But I'm going to go Morton because Morton is one of my guys. I'm a Rays guy. I'm loyal. I'm, you know, 21 years, guys. 21 years I've had season tickets. I'm not a Johnny come lately. And if I told you what we write the checkout for, my buddy and I were talking about this recently. We've got for over $500,000 on tickets. And I love it. I sit right next to the visitor's dugout, first row. And I go to her, I'm like a groupie, man. I love baseball. People don't realize this. Baseball was something. As a five-year-old, my mother made a Yankee uniform for me for Christmas, and it was the greatest thrill of my life, because a dream as a kid of pitching with the pinstripes, the Yankees. I lived right there near Yankee Stadium, maybe when I say near, 30 minutes away. But the bottom line is the reality set in. But once I moved here, I believe in loyalty, and I'm going to tell you something. I know you guys are going to laugh at me. I know you're going to laugh at me. That's okay. My wife laughs at me, and I love her. The 49 years, I better love her. And let me tell you, boy, did I absolutely hit a home run and slam dunk with my wife. People tell me all the time, man, you're looking. She's sitting right here, so I'm going to try to get some good points. Did I say great things about Lorraine? Come on, Lorraine. I'm taking care of you now. You're going to give me a nice kiss. So anyway, listen to this.
Beautiful.
21 years, right? We got tickets. And I go there and I want to get pictures, autographs of the players. And they're saying, Dickie V, here's the baseball, sign these for us. Sign these. They don't get it. I'm trying to be the groupie, and those guys want my picture. I want my autograph.
Dickie, can I talk to Lorraine? I'd like to talk
Please,
to her.
Yes.
Lorraine,
come here. He said he wants to say something. Come here.
Oh, this is great.
Come on. Say hello here. Come on. Hey. Let me tell you this, if Bodex is 10, she's a 15, I'll tell you that. You're not a prime, baby. Prime down there, my man, prime 112. He'll tell you. Say hello to me.
I'm the quiet one in the family.
Lorraine, so he hit a home run. He says he hit a home run. So did you hit a home run?
That's what he says, so I'm glad he thinks so.
Did you hit a home run, though? Because if a Dickie's volume is...
I hit a grand slam. I did more than a home run.
All right. Wow. Congratulations. That's awesome. That's really nice.
Years.
Congratulations. Yeah. 49, or as Lorenzo would call it, your 50th anniversary. That is Lorraine Vitale.
Lorraine, inside joke. We're sorry, but it had to be made.
Thank you for being on with us.
New York, man. I got to run to the Bronx, but I put it off the Bronx here, beautiful Florida. But let me tell you, I one of the great World Series I went to was right there in Miami. I was there when Cabrera, as a young kid, tore the Yankees apart in the World Series. But I've been a baseball fanatic for years, and we got our tickets. We got a kid. Let me just tell you something here. You might even know this. I don't know if you do. I was having dinner the other day, and these two scouts came over, and they were in town to look at players or whatever, so they came over and said hello, and they said, "Hey, Dick, we know you're a big baseball fan." So I said, "Well, join us." So they joined us. And they said, "Dick, you guys got a kid in the minor leagues. You're seeing all these young players, Tatis with the Padres, Soto with the Nationals, and all these guys, Acuna with the Braves. You got a kid better than all of them right now. So I don't understand they don't bring him up. His name is Wander Franco." Remember this name. Switch hitter. They tell me he's electric. So I spoke to the president of the race. Why are we bringing this kid up? Well, he's a little young yet, 19. I think what it is contractually, because I learned this the other day, that if you bring him up,
yep,
the clock starts on his contract. Yep. I guess after so many years, you're a free agent, so they want to delay that. But they say he is going to be special and should be in that lineup next year. They've done an amazing job. The Rays people do a great job analyzing, evaluating, getting talent. Like, we stole that kid. I was on a station in St. Louis yesterday. They can't believe what this Aruz Arena has done, and they gave him away. I said, "Hey, we're going to give a great gift to the Cardinals. I mean, they gave us a gift, and you guys gave us a gift in Miami. I think you gave us a gift. Nick Anderson, where did this guy come from? Gave him the Marlins, and he's been electric. He's been unbelievable with the Rays."
New book of the Lost Season, a look at what the 2020 National Championship could have been. It's available now. All proceeds are going to the V Foundation. Dickie V, good talking to you. Thank you for making the time for us, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys. And just remember this. Tell them to go to DickVitale.com, because that is where the dollars go to the V Foundation. If they buy the book, an autographed copy, go to DickVitale.com. Thanks a lot, Dan. Thanks, Dugas, guys. Keep rolling. You know what? I got fired in the NBA because my backcourt look like you two suckers, and I know you two can't make a jump shot.
Okay, that's true. That's a terrible backcourt.
Right,
I'm really sorry that that's what your backcourt looked like.
All I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
I mean, you as a two guard.
That was a real love fest. I mean, he was doing old Rodney Dangerfield comedy there.
What a shot on the way out, though. That was awesome.
He is super excited about his Rays, man. And Lorraine. Super excited about Lorraine.
After 49 years, that excited.
God bless you both. God, I mean, who's got that after 49 years? Or 50, Lorenzo likes to say.
Don Lebatard.
Yanni Adababubu.
Stugats.
Giannis Adababumbo.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and the Big Suey on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crepe. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
I'd like to get to this Antonio Brown story, because he's going to help somebody, and we're going to forget, you know, even though it was kind of unforgettable, the Charlie Sheen turn that his life took in a way that felt like mental health issues were at play. But before we do that, there are many people bombarding us who think it's laughable that we think that we can do 40 consecutive push-ups. I don't know that I can do it. I'd like to try it, though, because visually us failing would certainly be something that the community would like to laugh at.
Right. I think he could do it. I was pretty strident yesterday saying I could do it. I still feel like I can do it. I think you could do it. I do.
I mean, it's not that easy. 40 straight push-ups. What was the stat that Christine Lisi came up with or the information that she was giving us on if you can do 40 straight push-ups, some scientific study says that your heart condition is in a place that it needs.
Believe the Harvard research suggested that if you can do 40 consecutive push-ups, then within the next 10 years, you're likely to not suffer from heart disease.
So should we try that, or do we not have like the studio space and stuff? Because I need to go back to what happened yesterday, because it's not just that Stugatz bathed in a sink before going on Around the Horn, but have you yet to buy a jacket for Around the Horn? Are you still borrowing Izzy Gutierrez's Left Behind jackets?
No, I actually, I didn't purchase a jacket, but I did find one in my closet, and I used that one. It was a little big on me. I bought it many, many years ago, but that's the one I used. I dabbled. I flirted with using one of Izzy's jackets because they just fit me so much better. They're tight, but man, do I look skinny in those things.
I mean, do you not have any degree of shame, though,
No, I don't.
Across the board answer.
Yes, I guess he didn't even wait for what the question was.
It was actually a non sequitur. It was a new set of questions. Had nothing to do with what was said before.
They asked me to come in off the bench. Israel was supposed to do it, and I just figured if I needed one of his jackets, I'm doing him a favor. I mean,
okay,
that's all.
So, Antonio Brown, you would want him if you're just about any team in the league, right? When I tell you the possibility of him going to Seattle, that scares you, does it not?
I would not want him on my team. I know he hasn't tweeted in a while, and maybe someone finally got through to him. That was a circus unlike I've ever seen in the NFL. He hijacked a summer. I know it feels like it was ages ago. Actually, wasn't that long ago. It was a total clown show.
Okay. I would say, however, though, that your team, the Cleveland Browns, is less equipped to absorb a clown show than Seattle, which could then just waive him because they're strong with or without him.
I mean, like, any team can just waive him. We've seen that, and you're just falling for the garbage television programming going on ESPN daytime where there's an obvious campaign against the Cleveland Browns.
Well, forget about the fact if we want him or not. Do you think Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll would want him?
Russell Wilson's been campaigning for Antonio Brown for a very long time. He's been doing offseason workouts for him. It's interesting, though. Russell Wilson historically has had disconnects with the defensive side of the ball in his own locker room before, and Pete Carroll has this reputation of being a guy that can get people to work together. Let's not forget Percy Harvin and Golden Tate got in a fight before the Super Bowl. I don't know if inviting that into your locker room is a good decision.
Pete Carroll strikes me a little bit like Ted Lasso. Everyone likes him, perpetually upbeat, though perhaps not as upbeat as Dickie V and Lorraine. But that team would be terrifying if it added that particular team.
It's
would be
terrifying.
DK Metcalf and Antonio Brown.
With Lockett and Russell Wilson. That, like, I understand why that team is sniffing around that talent level. Because
and then he starts complaining and he's not getting the ball enough. And then you have a young, impressionable wide receiver that's all of a sudden made it nationally, and DK Metcalf, it's just too much.
A young, impressionable wide receiver.
He's just a kid. He's just a boy. He's just a boy.
That is no boy.
You have seen him shirtless. We have seen him shirtless. That is more of a man than all of the men.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
Ariel Helwani going to join us in a second because this is an interesting fight coming up.
Don Lebatard.
I need onions.
Stugatz.
I'm all for the everyday person, Dan.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
Ariel Helwani going to join us in just a minute here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Listen to every single pitch of the 2020 World Series on ESPN Radio. Coverage of Game 3 between the Dodgers and Rays. Friday begins at 7:30 Eastern.
Before we get to Ariel Helwani and UFC 254 is Saturday. Saturday, October 24th. Main card starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. On UFC pay-per-view, only on ESPN Plus. We'll get to Ariel in a second, but first, Christine Lisi, you were saying.
And finally, each of the suits on a deck of cards represents the four major pillars of the economy in the Middle Ages. Hearts represented the church, spades the military, clubs agriculture, and diamonds the merchant class. Now back to a couple of jokers, Dan and Stu.
There it is. Lazy writing somebody did for Christine there. I don't believe Christine did that herself. Only the finest professionalism from her. When it's minor league, it's not her. Again, UFC 254, Saturday, 2 p.m. Why are they doing it this way? Why 2 p.m. on Saturday? And thank you for joining us, Ariel.
Oh, it's great to be here, Dan. Thank you for having me. Hello to everyone else. The reason why they're doing this in the afternoon is because Khabib is such a big star in the Middle East. You know, this is, I think off the top of my head, this is their 8th event in Abu Dhabi on quote unquote Fight Island since July. All of those events have happened in the middle of the night to cater to us here in North America. But Khabib is such a big draw in the Middle East because he is a devout Muslim, arguably the second biggest Muslim athlete in the world behind Mo Salah of Liverpool. They want him to fight in prime time over there. So we take a back seat. He's going to be fighting at around 4:30-ish Eastern time, which is 12:30 over there. That's when they want him to fight. So that's when he'll be fighting.
Ariel is hosting a pre-fight show, ESPN Radio, Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. Why is Khabib talking about St. Pierre? What's that all about?
George St. Pierre was his favorite fighter growing up. He watched him for many years before he even dreamed of being an MMA fighter. And currently, Khabib Nurmagomedov is 28-0. He's a perfect 28-0. It's the best, quote-unquote, start to an MMA career. And he's only lost one round officially in his UFC career, and that was to Conor McGregor, round 3. And unfortunately, earlier this year, due to the pandemic, his father, Abdulmanap, passed away due to COVID complications. And he wasn't just his father. He was his best friend, his head coach, his mentor. They couldn't have been closer. And they always talked about retiring at 30-0. So if he wins on Saturday against Gaethje, 29-0, and his dream is to then retire beating his idol, George St. Pierre. And George has also said he'd only come back for one fight, and that would be against Khabib. He feels like beating Khabib is bigger than any title. So this is a dream match of sorts. The UFC has been hesitant to book the fight because in their mind, why would we book Khabib against the guy who tells us he's going to retire after fighting this guy? So you can't risk having GSP beat Khabib and then walk away. Now you can't make money off the guy who just beat Khabib. But if Khabib says I'm done after number 30 and I want the final one to be against George, who by the way hails from the great Montreal, Quebec, Canada, maybe they'll consider it.
Would that be much of a fight?
I think it would be fascinating theater once they get in there, but the big question is what weight would it be at? Because George St. Pierre historically has fought at 170 pounds. Khabib is a 155 pounder. Now, the UFC has been reluctant to book catch weights. They don't like catch weights. What both guys have said, hey, like take the belt. We don't want the belt. We just want to see who's the better man. Let's do it at 165. Let's kind of meet in the middle. Now, Dana White says, we don't do this sort of thing. But back at UFC 60, many moons ago at the Staples Center, they booked Matt Hughes, who at the time was the welterweight champion, against the legend Hoist Gracie in a catchweight fight. So they have done this sort of thing. And I would argue this is almost the exact same fight as that one, you know, past meets present, that sort of thing. So they have done it. There is a precedent. And I don't think anyone cares if there's a belt on the line. They just want to see these two icons go at it. I would suggest 165.
What do you think of this fight, Saturday's fight? Again, 2 p.m. UFC 254, main card starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, live on UFC pay-per-view, only on ESPN+.
And Dan, I appreciate you asking me why I have a picture of David Sampson behind me. It's because I haven't heard or seen David since I laid the verbal smackdown on him several months ago. And so I put this up there to remind myself that he's still around. And I was wondering if maybe one of you guys knew, but since you're ignoring the obvious elephant in the room, clearly no one has seen David since I beat him. I think it was 10-7, if memory serves me correct. In any event, Saturday's fight is incredible because Justin Gaethje is a completely different fighter from the one who lost 2 in a row a couple of years ago in the UFC. Since then, he's won 4 in a row, but he's completely changed his style. He used to be this sort of Tasmanian devil-like fighter who was okay with taking 2 punches and then handing out 3. Now, he doesn't like to get hit. He's patient, he's calm, he's cool, he's collected. He's a very underrated wrestler, and he has a lot of power in his hands. And if he can keep this fight in the center of the octagon and not get taken down, especially not get pressed up against the cage, there are a lot of people, including myself, who think that Justin Gaethje could pull off this upset. He is no cakewalk. This isn't some, like, you know, tailor-made matchup for Khabib. In my opinion, up until this point, Gaethje's the toughest guy he has fought thus far in the UFC. He has to keep the fight standing. He has to use his leg kicks, and he's got to catch him early. And if he could do that, and I know it's a big if, I think he has a chance.
Toughest how? Are you talking about just toughest, or are you talking about you think he's better than McGregor?
Well, number one, McGregor wasn't all there the first fight. I'm not offering any excuses, but he didn't really train properly for that fight. But he has the skill set. You know, MMA is all about matchups, right? And you could play this sort of game that we like to call MMA math all day long. This guy beats that guy, but what if he loses to that guy? If you look at the skill set, Gaethje, like I said, is a very underrated wrestler, and he's got underrated takedown defense, and he's got a lot of power in his hands. And if you look at what he did against Tony Ferguson back in May with the leg kicks, keeping his opponent at bay and not allowing him to close the distance, things will get really interesting. Remember, when Conor, who everyone said had no takedown defense, when he fought Khabib and Khabib took him down in the center of the cage, not up against the fence, because that's where Khabib is at his best, Conor got right back up. And I think Gaethje will have the same kind of success. And if he's able to catch him, and if he's able to land those leg kicks, which are such a big part of his game, I really do think he has a solid chance.
Why does Khabib want to end his career after just 30 fights?
He feels like he has all the money in the world. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been. I'm looking at this crew right here. I'm fairly certain none of you have been to Dagestan, Makhachkala, to be exact. It's a very sort of, you know, no frills type of place, to put it that way. And he has an incredible amount of money. He is incredibly famous. He lives like on this compound with his family. That's what they do. The youngest child still lives with his parents. And he kind of feels like he's set. And we've seen this in the fight game in the past. You know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. We have seen guys like Anderson Silva and Demetrius Johnson. Once they lose, they're kind of relieved. They don't have that pressure. There's so much pressure from the Muslim community, from the Middle Eastern fans, from the Russian fans, from fans all over the world on Khabib to continue to be undefeated. I think part of him gets a little tired of it all. And so he likes this number. He's talked about this number with his dad. He wants to do it for his father. Personally, we've heard this before. I think he has a lot of fighting left in him. I would be very surprised if he retires at 30-0 because I think he can do this for many more years. But that's what he's saying right now. And I guess right now we have to take him for his word.
Stylistically, though, I think a lot of fight fans want to see Ferguson versus Khabib still, and that fight has long since been cursed. We thought we were going to get it, and now Tony Ferguson has lost. Are we ever going to get that fight?
It is the most cursed fight in UFC history, without a doubt. Some might say it's just as cursed as the Marlins are since, you know, David Sampson and Jeffrey Loria ruined that franchise. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I'm not here to open up that can of worms.
I think it is both here and there. Yeah. I don't think it's, okay, I think it's both. Both here, at least there. If it's not here, it's there.
I mean, where is he? Has anyone seen him? Has anyone even heard of the guy? Does that podcast that gets like 15 listeners still exist?
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Come
but
on.
If you
now.
Could tell me. I would love to know where he is. I would just love to know. In any event, and say I want to say hello to all the Reddit fans out there who are big fans of mine. So that fight is an incredible fight, but the problem is Ferguson lost so badly to Gaethje that it will be hard to do it even if Khabib wins on Saturday.
That was such a bummer. It was a bummer to see Ferguson lose that way.
Yeah, because this man has had the worst luck. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but back in April of 2018, they were supposed to fight in Brooklyn at UFC 223. He had to pull out of the fight 6 days before. Why? Because he tripped over a camera cord at Fox Studios while promoting the fight and blew out his knee. I mean, how does that happen? It's the worst luck in the world. So they're trying to do Michael Chandler, who they just signed from Bellator, against Tony Ferguson, potentially on December 19th. Bit of a scoop for the Lebatard Reddit fans out there. And if they do that fight and Ferguson wins, I could see them revisiting it. But the problem is, you have GSP out there if Khabib wins. You have Conor out there, which is the fight the UFC wants to see because they think it could do the biggest business in the history of the sport. And then he kind of falls third right now. So it's unfortunate. Crazier things have happened in this sport, but right now it's not looking great for Tony. He has to win a fight to get back into that conversation, in my opinion.
Check out the DC and Helwani podcast. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Thank you, Ariel. We are done talking to you. Good talking
David,
to you.
Call me. I miss you.
Splash!
Forgot to tell the people about ZipRecruiter.
Yep, support the people that support this show. Excuse me. I'm choked up. Ariel was so good on the show.
$5.
Really?
Dan Le Batard.
Ta-da!
Stugats.
Voila.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices. Adam Schefter reports that the Vikings and Ravens are finalizing a trade to send defensive end Yannick Ngakoue to Baltimore for a 2021 third-round pick and a 2022 conditional fifth-round pick.
Breaking news is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
At Lebatard Show is where you vote on the polls on the Twitter account. I don't know if you saw this, Dugatz, but Pat Chambers at Penn State resigned. There was some reporting a month ago that he survived something about a noose around the neck comment around a player. So I don't know what more there was than that, or if the investigation into that ended in his resignation. But if you want to understand a little bit better sort of this weird power structure that allows these coaches to abuse these black players with stuff that includes threats to send them back home to either Africa or their impoverished and desperate neighborhoods, check out The Big Suey today with Bomani Jones talking about some of the stuff that is happening at Wichita State and elsewhere. It's worth your time to sort of the University of Texas has the controversy with the song where the kids don't want to sing what's a minstrel song, but just like the anthem, get out there and sing. Like, we want to sing our songs. And if you want more information on that, I do think you'll find it interesting. Bomani Jones, always good on those subjects, so check out The Big Suey. At Lebatard Show is where you vote on the polls, though. What do we have today, Stugatz?
We only have one today, Dan. Has Tony Kornheiser been 72 years old since he was 20 years old?
Yes, because this day marks the anniversary. The 20th year is beginning for Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon. And Stugatz had some heartfelt words. The highlight of today's show, according to Stugatz, is him mending those fences with Dick Vitale. Now there's only one ESPN person out there who is still on the Stugatz bleep list, and that's you, Wilbon.
Yep. 98% of the audience said yes, by the way, about Kornheiser. I don't know if that was the best part of today's show. Personally, it was the best part of today's show because I never wanted beef with Dick Vitale. I was just trying to make a point, and he hung up the phone on us. But I am glad because I respect him. Then I got here, and I couldn't believe I had arrived at the same place as people like Michael Wilbon and Dick Vitale. I never wanted to fight with Dickie V. I love Dickie V. So for me personally, that was the best part.
But Mike, you've heard Stugatz under his breath since his daughter was accepted at Northwestern, enjoying the fact that Stugatz's daughter is going to Wilbon's beloved alma mater.
It's real beef. I know there's show beef, and maybe we amplify certain things. Wilbon does not like Stugatz. Stugatz just doesn't like that Wilbon doesn't like Stugatz.
Right. I love Michael. I respect him. I said the nicest things about his 20th anniversary, PTI, him and Tony, according to Lorenzo. I mean, I have very nice things, and I'll say them again next year when the actual 20th anniversary happens, okay? But everyone, you know, who has gone to school at Northwestern, Greeny, Kevin Blackstone, I mean, I don't even know him. I mean, they have sent me texts congratulating the professor, congratulating me that my daughter committed to Northwestern to play lacrosse. I have not heard a single thing from Michael Wilbon. Nothing.
Didn't Glenn Geffner say to you, you ruined Wilbon's alma mater, you ruined Greeny's alma mater, you ruined my wife's alma mater? Is that a quote from Glenn Geffner?
No, that's a quote from me, actually. I said that.
You said that. I'm quoting Roy. That. Is that Claire back there? Post-game show. Hello, Claire. Post-game show next.
You just heard the Dan Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
All right, bye.